This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders. On the show today, we have OneSpan's very own Michael McGrath talking about their second annual Global Financial Regulatory Report. We're talking crypto, digital identity, and a whole lot more. Really, really good stuff here from Michael, so check it out. Welcome to our show, and on today's program, we have OneSpan's very own Michael McGrath. Michael, how are you?
I am excellent, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Happy holidays to you and yours.
Thank you. Likewise.
Yeah. Hey, thank you very much. Hey, and speaking of holidays, and you guys put out your most recent second annual Global Financial Regulatory Report, and this is all geared towards 2022. So I want to dive kind of right into this, Michael. So can you just give us a quick summary before we dive into a few of the key findings here? Because it sounds like 48% of the financial institutions report that regulatory compliance has slowed down their digital transformation, which is a little scary because everybody's going digital right now, right?
That's correct. So first and foremost, we recently published the Global Financial Regulations Report. And as you noted, it's our second annual. It's a very comprehensive, it's not a marketing piece by any means. It's really a reference tool for our customers around the world. And it really focuses on compliance with anti-money laundering, digital identity, open banking, really outlines initiatives as it pertains to electronic signature compliance and new laws that are coming out in that area, as well as there's been a lot of activity around data privacy, data protection.
Oh, yeah.
And in the U.S., due to the pandemic, there's been a lot of movement in moving notarization online. Remote online notarization. Yeah,
that's RON for short.
That's correct.
Yeah, exactly. I remember that last year coming to fruition. So before we get started with a couple of the key findings in the latest report, any changes from last year's report? Anything that stands out? Like, oh my gosh, I didn't see that one coming.
Sure. So yes, there actually is quite a bit of change. So my day-to-day job at OneSpan is really to keep abreast of regulatory actions around the world. Laws, policy changes, regulations that would be drafted. And in my day-to-day business, there's been a tremendous focus around digital currency, not just cryptocurrency, private issuers like the Bitcoins of the world, but central bank digital currencies.
Okay.
And that really screams throughout the report. It was reported that there are 81 jurisdictions around the world at different phases of central bank digital currency. There's only been a couple that have been launched thus far.
Yeah.
The big one that's due to launch very soon is China. But that was one thing that really came out of being new. And there's a lot of focus around digital identity. Over in Europe, they launched the beginnings of a digital wallet. That's going to be used and recognized throughout the block. It's going to be developed by each member state, but interoperability between the member states for that digital identity in the digital wallet. That's another thing. And a big thing that came out is artificial intelligence. That really wasn't in our report the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of countries that are either putting policies in place or legislation. The EU came out with a big legislative package over the mm-hmm. summer. And here in the US, the regulators were very active in 2021.
Oh, I bet.
There was an RFI that came out in the spring from all the financial regulators that went out to the banks saying, how are you using this? They want to understand things. And NIST is in the midst of putting a framework together to guide people along.
Mm-hmm.
There was another RFI that came out of the White House about a month ago. How is the industry using AI? So this is a 2022 report, but I think you're going to see some activity in the U.S. in 2022 as it relates to regulating artificial intelligence in the U.S. financial system.
Yeah, it's amazing how things change so fast. I mean, just the difference between like you, just your report as an example, you know, just the changes from last year to this year, and gosh, who knows what's going to happen, you know, in year three of this report. So it's just amazing how fast things are going and how people can keep up with it, especially the regulars. I mean, how do they keep up with all these changes? I mean, that's a lot of research on that. I mean, most of us who are in the industry can barely keep up with what's going on. You know, how does a regulator keep up?
They're very challenged.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And that's, you know, a big issue. You know, in our survey, the financial institutions that responded to the survey, we did it in four countries, the United States, the United Kingdom, France, and I'm drawing a blank.
That's okay. No worries.
Sorry. We can edit this, right, Mike?
Oh, sure. yeah, if you want to refer to your notes, that's fine.
Yeah, you know, I'm really drawing a blank. Let me.
We got America, England, France, Canada, maybe.
And there's one more, Mexico.
Mexico. I was just about to say Mexico.
How could I forget Mexico? All right, so let me start that again.
Sure.
So our survey was we surveyed leaders in financial institutions. There were about 170 responders, and they were in financial institutions ranging from $5 billion in assets to over $100 million, billion dollars in assets. Mm-hmm. And those were in four different countries, the United States, Mexico, the United Kingdom, and France. The responses varied, as you might suspect, but by and large, about half of them said, you know, regulatory inaction or delays in regulatory actions are really holding up our digital transformation. One thing it's not in our report, but one thing that's kind of interesting is in Canada right now, the Digital Identity and Authentication Council of Canada, which we belong to, they're running an industry survey with Canadian industries to identify if there's any roadblocks. Are there any obscure rules or policies in some industry that's preventing people from going digital?
Right.
You know, do we need a wet signature for this, you know, this account statement or something like that, as opposed to going to an electronic signature? Yeah. So that survey is up and posted until end of February, I believe.
Okay, gotcha. Hey, let's dive into a couple of the findings here. I'm not going to cover them all, but let's get a couple of them. One of the ones that stood out for me was why the U.S. is trailing with respect to data protection and digital identity standards. You kind of touched on that already, though, but that one's just seems front and center to me because this is where it's going, especially the digital identity.
That's very, very true. There are countries, I mentioned Canada and the DIAC up there, they're moving full speed ahead with digital identity infrastructure. The United Kingdom has had a digital identity scheme for several years, really for government to citizen. They're in the process of building a trust framework for all interactions. So it would be business to citizen as well as government to citizen. Or B2B and B2B. Australia's had one in place, New Zealand's just kicking off one, and we mentioned the EU as in their digital wallet initiative. So where's the US? We don't have a digital identity infrastructure. and that was really exposed last year, or I should say this year. Your viewers are probably well aware of all the fraud that took place with state unemployment offices. That was to the tune, I've seen numbers as low as $60 billion to $400 billion in fraud. I got a letter, I live in Virginia, I got a letter from the state of Colorado saying somebody used my identity to get unemployment benefits. So this is a real, real problem. And, you know, there's different ways of approaching it. You could do a piecemeal approach to combat the fraud by strengthening identities. But I think as the U.S. moves forward, I think it's very important for the U.S. to really take a holistic approach to identity, much like the other jurisdictions that I mentioned are doing. So you can, and they should be interoperable. I mean, in the financial world, I like to say, well, wouldn't it be great if I open up an account at, ABC Credit Union, and I also got a loan at XYZ Credit Union, and when I go through the KYC process at one, shouldn't that carry over? And making that more consumer friendly, but there needs to be a lot of regulatory changes and trusts and between the FIs to do that. So these are things that I don't know if that will ever happen, but I'm looking at it from a regulatory / consumer experience perspective. But that's one area is around digital identity. The other is data protection, data privacy laws. The California law has been on the books for quite a while. Virginia, Colorado passed legislation, and there's more in the works. But we don't have any overarching federal data protection law. There's bills in Congress, but I think most of your viewers are well aware that Congress doesn't move.
Not very fast.
Right. So not very fast. So
they move at glacial speeds, I think.
Yes, they do. So it remains to be seen what happens there. But those are some of the other things. And then open banking. Open banking, other countries are far more advanced than us. Just in Latin America, Mexico and Brazil, they're pretty close to finishing their rollouts. Chile and Colombia are in the early stages, going through the legislative process in one country. President Biden issued an executive order over the summer that is called Promoting Competition in the American Economy. It was released in July, and that really tasks the Consumer Financial Protection Board to take a good look and opening up the potential for open banking in the United States. So I think that could make a lot of changes. And from my perspective, knowing what's going on in the identity or more on the authentication side, I think you're going to see some pretty stringent rules around authentication with open banking. It's not just the APIs and the sharing of the information, but it's really protecting those accounts. The FFIC released their update to authentication guidance last summer, and the FTC just updated their safeguards rule. So those are really strict around authentication requirements, and I think you're going to see that carry over to open banking for the consumers.
Gotcha. One other one that I wanted to talk about was why technology innovations like AI, we talked about it earlier, crypto, biometrics, and blockchain are outpacing fintech regulations. And I think we kind of touched on it earlier as well, because things are moving so fast, the changes, and how a regulator can keep up with this, even we can barely keep up with it, and we're in the industry. So what's your take on that, or what are your findings on that? Because that one seems to be a pretty big one as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's, if you think of how a regulator works, they, like I mentioned, the RFIs that went out earlier around AI, it's a long process. And there's the request for information, there's getting input from industry, it's going through drafts and published drafts and coming out. So you're looking at probably a year or two.
It's going to be so frustrating.
Yes, and it is. And at the same time, the banks are leveraging AI. Our company, we provide these types of services for digital remote account opening. The banks are using it for back office and even underwriting for loans and that type of stuff. So right now it's been pretty much unregulated. And I think that's, for some, and it has become kind of in the crosshairs. It's just a matter of when those changes are going to take place.
Yeah, no doubt. Where can folks find out? Or actually, no, I want to, one more, I'm going to back up a little bit. What's the significant? Obviously, we didn't cover everything. We just kind of scratched the surface, but we'll put a link in the show notes so people can get to the details here. But what's the significance of the report's finding that, to you? Because it sounds like, again, we seem to be behind the eight ball here constantly. Mm-hmm. So, but what your take on this, you know, what's the significance of these findings for you?
I think the significance is, you know, one of the interesting questions that we asked is the response that we got was, you know, how do you tackle all these regulations? And it was a multiple choice guess, but the overwhelming response there was 85% of the bank leaders. They agreed that they rely on vendors, you know, help us. It's, you know, they get information from the regulators and they have, you know, reg tech software that they keep track of, but, mm-hmm. They view vendors as the trusted advisors. And that's one area that OneSpan, you know, really plays a role. And that was really the point of the report is, you know, like I said at the outset, this isn't a commercial piece, but other things that really jumped out is, you know, the things that we discussed. I mean, cyber threats, they're not going away.
Oh, gosh, no.
Okay, yeah, ransomware attacks. Right, so ransomware attacks, and it really exposed, you know, as we discussed earlier, the weak digital identity infrastructure that we have in the United States. We're so far behind other countries, and I think a lot of that is just policy. During the Obama administration, they put forth a national strategy for trusted identities in cyberspace, and that gave birth to a body called the Identity Ecosystem Steering Group, which I served on the board of for the last year or two. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't go anywhere. I think it was just a little premature. I think the United States can really learn a lot from what other countries are doing. Canada's is really a true public-private partnership where you have involvement from the federal government, the provincial governments, the local governments, the banks. Most of the major banks are a part of the development of this, and vendors like OneSpan. Mm-hmm. So I think that really screams out, and that really comes through in the report around the digital identity shortcomings in the U.S. compared to other countries, and central bank digital currencies. It remains to be seen what happens in the U.S. with that, but you know, other jurisdictions are moving full speed ahead, and you know, it improves financial inclusion. And those types of things. So it's, I think that's where we're going to be.
Yep. No doubt. No doubt. 2022 is going to be an interesting year for all that stuff. Cause we see the wheels turning, but they might not be turning fast enough. So to keep up with all the innovation that's going on out there. So great stuff here. Great stuff though. But, and where can folks go to find out more details? Cause obviously, again, we're just scratching the surface here. Sure. Michael, so obviously go to OneSpan and
yes, if you go to OneSpan.com, it's right on our homepage.
Okay.
You can just scroll down a little bit. This year's report is 329 pages as a PDF. it's too big to email. But what we did, the PDF is beautifully laid out in graphics and et cetera. I give, you know, full compliments to our creative team. But we also made it available this year in HTML on the website.
So okay.
You can go in, and if you're interested in the United States, you click on the United States, and it gives you the things. If you're interested in the EU, et cetera.
Okay.
From a usability standpoint, it really meets the needs of all our readers.
Indeed. Sounds good. Sounds good. We'll put that link in the show notes so people can get right to it and they can kind of go through it any way they want and get all the information they need. And if they have any questions, then give you guys a call and say, hey, tell us more.
Yes,
tell us more. All right, Michael. Well, I'm going to let you get back to work.
Yes.
Appreciate the time as always. Valuable information here. This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders.